Jesus.
Jesus, a preacher. Don't always think of Jesus being a preacher. You think of his hands were kind hands. That's a good song. I like that. I didn't sing that before. He was out doing good all the time. And he did that. That's true. But Jesus did not heal every place he went. And Jesus did not do miracles everywhere he went. But one thing that Jesus did everywhere he went was preach. And so after he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came on him as a dove, and then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, here we see him returning in the power of the Spirit. And he starts, as is his custom, I like that, it's a good custom to have, show up on the synagogue, to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Or in our case, to Mayflower Church on Sunday morning. Good custom. That's a good custom. See, a lot of us have bad habits, but that's a good habit. That's a good one. As was his custom, he came to the synagogue. They handed him the reading of the day. He finds in Isaiah where it says, and we read it out of Isaiah for the first reading and out of here, and he preached to them. He sat down and preached. I like that. I remember that as I get older. So we'll get a lounge chair up here and put it in the middle and it's up nice and comfortable and yeah. I'm not sure I can actually preach staying in one place, but you know, we can find out. We can find out. He sat down and started to say to them, see, this is kind of what he was preaching all around Galilee in the early days of his ministry. We have a sort of a sample here. Was he preaching? If you don't show up to the synagogue on the Sabbath, you get a burn. If you don't support the mitten trade, by the way, the mitten tree is about ready to come down, so if you want to get in on that, get this year, jump in, write a check, get some mittens or hats or whatever out there. They're headed to Luton here in a week or two. Okay. If you don't participate, no. Now, while he did that to some people, if you want a really interesting Bible study, look how Jesus talked to the Pharisees. Look how Jesus talked to his disciples. And look how Jesus talked to the common people. Three distinct different ways. To the Pharisees, woe on you hypocrites and snakes! See, I've never called anybody a snake, unless you just fit that this morning. I've never called anybody a snake. Right? So he did do that. Well, what he is preaching is the favorable year of the Lord is here. The scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The favorable year of the Lord. Israel never once did this. That's recorded. They just never did this. But every 50 years, they were supposed to get a do-over. Us golfers call that a mulligan. That's when you hit one that's supposed to go that way, and it goes that way. Or in my case, I have a tendency to yank them. I have a tendency to pull. Say, you know? And they just go, and I got this wicked duck hook that shows up every now and then. It's just ugly. You know? I'm thinking, ugh, no problem. So I always carry a golf ball in my pocket. Put it back down and say, I know I hit that 3-wood better than that. And it's amazing. The second one usually goes where it's supposed to go. Now, how come I can't do that on the first one? Well, I just skipped the first one. Good point. Say, just hit the second one first. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes in life we need a do-over. Hey, we made a bad choice, something happens, whatever. And in Israel's day, the year of Jubilee was that year when everything kind of went back to the way it was supposed to be. So if you gotten poor, you had to sell yourself into slavery. In the 50th year, you were set free. You went back to your ancestral lands. Debts were forgiven. Even the harvests were counted from, were supposed to be counted from jubilee to jubilee. When you sold property, it was supposed to be sold accordingly. Everything centered around the year of Jubilee when everything goes back the way it's supposed to be. And so Jesus gets up in the synagogue and says, the scripture that you've been looking for is here. I'm it. It's fulfilled and you're hearing today. Recovery of sight to the blind. See, a do-over. A do-over. Now Israel's been looking for sort of King David to show back up. See, King David was kind of the Wild West of Israel. You know, I mean, the Wild West in our country, you know that only lasted about 20 years. About 20 years. We make movies, we still make movies about it. You know, I don't know how many. How many movies did John Wayne make about the Wild West? See, the guy who's in the white hat's always won. Right? Evil was thrown out. Good guys won. Things weren't going well. You just strapped your six gun on your hip and went in town and straightened it out. Okay. Kind of way King David was. King David just kind of, you know, I read some of that and it's like, you know, David just strapped down his sword and went out and killed the enemies of God. Amazing how most of the enemies of God were enemies of David. You ever notice that? You know, amazing. Just amazing to me. But once David named him the enemy of God, look out, because you are gone. And he stretched Israel to the farthest place by conquest that they'd ever had, land territory. Solomon did a little bit farther with a couple of his peace treaties. And so Israel at this point, under Roman domination, they're looking for this Savior to come deliver us from Rome. Set us up in our own kingdom. Make us a world power like the United States so we can rule. That's what they're looking for. See, but that's not mankind's problem. Mankind's problem is not that Israel is not its own nation at this time. That it's not dominant. That it's not a world power. That there's not a King David on the throne. Mankind's problem is audience participation. Mankind's problem is sin. Very good. Yeah, you can say that even if you don't believe it. You can still say that. Okay. That's mankind's problem. See, every problem we have in the planet today is connected to that. That is the problem. Sin. If this thing was going the way God wanted it to go, we'd still be in the garden. Be a big garden. Actually, it was a big garden. See, people say, how come? And I was at a funeral yesterday. A co-worker, my wife's mother, her mother-in-law died. So I didn't know anybody there. And I don't know who the preacher was. But he was saying, you know, we have these questions, why? We do, we all have questions, why? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why do bad things happen? Well, ultimately the answer is, Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They rebelled against God. So when God is coming to give us all a do-over, where does he start? He starts with the root of the problem. The root of the problem. And Jesus is proclaiming that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach. Anointed. That's it. That's a good word. Oh, I got time for a side thought. Side thought. Anointed. You know, we have everybody now for the Prudential Council, the election's coming up and everything. I personally would like to see some people step up and jump in and do some things so we can give some other people a break. That's my personal thing, okay? Especially if you're under 50. Yeah, that's what I would like. So you'd be praying about that this next year. Well, and a couple of you who are business owners that are over 50 would be really good, too. Okay. See. And farm owners, and et cetera. Anyway, okay. See. However, there's a big difference, especially in the ministry. You know, there are people, I'm sorry, Barb, I really am. I wasn't even going to say that. Here, just slap me. Just, my wife isn't here. Just, thank you. There. Okay. See, Barb is home studying. She's back in class again, so she's not here because I got meetings after church and stuff. So, see, so Barb wasn't able to give me the glare, so it's her fill in there. Okay. Anointed. What are we, see, have you heard preachers that preach that we're anointed and preachers that aren't anointed? Hear the difference? You can be trained, but there's anointings. That's something that we're kind of gifted in, areas that we're gifted in. So we don't know why it works, it just kind of works. Why does that work for us? I'm just kind of good at that. See, a lot of this is God's anointing so that we will use our gifts for the kingdom of God, not necessarily solely for the kingdom of God. And there are gifts of administration. There's some people that are just good at it. See, there's gifts of serving others, our deacons. That's a good deacon position. Serving others, got a concern for other people. What's going on with so-and-so? Pick up the phone and call them and find out. Go see them. See, ministering to other people, serving. There's all kinds of gifts that we have. No, we can train people, but it's just not the same thing. It's just not the same. I have heard ministers that really ought to be driving a truck. They really should. Obviously called to drive truck. Yeah. Anointed. Okay, I know. Anointed. Preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Release from our sins. Recovery of sight to the blind. That's why we pray for the sick. See? Recovery of sight to the blind. God doesn't want us. We don't have to remain. I mean, we pray for the sick. Because God heals. God helps. Not that I know of anybody that's in perfect health all the time. We live on a fallen planet. We're a fallen race. But in Christ, no, it's not complete yet. It will be complete someday. It's not complete. We haven't been totally restored. We're about two-thirds restored. How's that? Spirit and soul, the body ain't restored yet. That day's coming. That's going to be a good day. Good day. I'm looking forward to it. To set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable release, the favorable year of the Lord. So the last few weeks has kind of turned into, I didn't even plan this. Come Follow Me series. I didn't even plan it. I was looking at that this last night. I thought, let's kind of Come Follow Me series. Because we're talking about what Jesus did. He's our example. Okay. So what are we supposed to do? Go tell. Do you know what the number one form of evangelism is? Us. See? And while we can do a lot of things, and hopefully we will do some things, and you know, the number one form of evangelism is you telling somebody. You telling somebody. You inviting somebody to church. You telling somebody, I used to be here. Jesus happened, now I'm here. The perfect testimony. So. Billy Graham has preached to more people face to face than anybody on the planet ever. And that's where I get these stats. It's from his organization. And he was the best of the best as far as keeping people involved in church, getting them at a crusade and then getting them in church so that they just, in a year, didn't fall away. He was the best of it out of anybody that's ever lived. About 80% of people get saved in the Billy Graham crusade when Billy Graham was running it. stayed involved in church. The other stats are just pathetic. You know, I mean, yeah, like, you know, for a few weeks they're all hot and bothered, and then afterwards back to their own lives. And I used to see that when I traveled. I traveled for 4 years on my own bus. Traveled, preached revival meetings. I don't know if Congregationalism, well, it did in the old days, in the 1700s had revival meetings. I don't know about lately. That's what I used to do. And that's what I found. You get them all hot and going. Then 2-3 weeks later, they're back to where they were. And that's why, one reason, I'm not a big fan of big productions. Been there, done that, actually. But no lasting results. Then God wants lasting results. He wants us to fall in love with Him and stay in love with Him. That's what God wants. And Jesus came to proclaim that. And that's happened to some of you. So if you're going to be like Jesus, what's He want you to do? Just share it. Who am I going to share it to? How many people do you see every week? Gas station attendant? Okay. People you work with? Neighbors? People. I see people every week, all week long, I never even talk to. I see people I know that I don't talk to. Because sometimes I'm in my own little world, and somebody the other day, and somebody else, this just happened, we were talking about this earlier. And, oh, Lola. Somebody had to say, you know, Rick, oh, you know, here I am. Yeah, I was just wandering through life, but my brain was doing whatever my brain was doing. You know, so if I shun you in public, it's not personal. It's just, really, it's really. Hey, it's just me being off my own little world. To share. I was here. Jesus happened. And now I'm here. To share. You know, we got a good thing going at Mayflower. We do have a good thing going at Mayflower. Why don't you come along some Sunday and see it? Choir's great. Just great. Every week. I was thinking about that in our singing this morning. I thought, you know, I've been here long enough where I'm just really spoiled because this sounds normal. I remember when I first came to the first, when I was first here, these people were awesome. Okay. Now I've been here so much, it's normal. I'm going to have to go visit another church that has a choir just to get my perspective back on it. Sunday morning, somewhere. Okay, our choir is a lot smaller, but doggone, they're better than that. Yeah. These guys are good. Yeah. See, we have lots of stuff to get involved with. If you want to get involved, we have lots of stuff in front, behind the scenes, things going on that some people don't even know about. It's a good place. Mayflower is a good place to serve God. It's a good place. It's steady. It's consistent. Yeah, we're a little traditional, which is good in my opinion, if you've been on the other side. It's lasting. We'll all be dead and gone, and we'll still be here if we do what's right. In our time that we have it. Touching lives for people yet to be born. If the Lord tarries. That's cool. That's cool. And how many other churches could start a 90-year-old plus club? We could start a 90-year-old hockey team. That's what we should do. We should start a 90-year-old hockey team. There we go. Do we all have problems, tests, trials, tribulations? Oh, yeah. We all got them. Probably got more to come. Hate to say that. We probably got more to come. I hope not. I hope my number's in. And the rest of the life is just easy. Because I really like easy. But if we have this relationship with God, we're solid with God, just walking day by day with God, we are going to successfully get through individually, as a church family, as families that we have represented here. So we're going to make it through. And that's what God wants. God wants this relationship with us. All the other stuff is just trivia. It is. And that's what Jesus came to proclaim. The favorable year of the Lord is here. I'm taking care of the problem. If you will believe, and whosoever shall believe in him shall be saved. Because the problem has been removed. And now we can be in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. And we can have a good life living and serving God while we're here. That is a good life. Sometimes it's a hard life. See, sometimes we got to make sacrifices we don't necessarily want to make. But it's a good life compared to the alternative lives. It's a good place to be. And then one of these days, see, this ain't the end. This is just the beginning. One of these days, it's going to be better than this forever. Think of that. Forever. Forever and ever, the Bible says. Forever and ever. How long is that? I don't know. But I hope you go with me. I'm going. Hope you go. And while you're here, I hope you just fall in love with Jesus. Use your gifts and abilities for him every now and then. Have fun. Enjoy the trip. John and I were talking. 90 years. He says, it goes by so fast. Thinking, well, I don't know about 90, but I know 58 went by in a hurry. Hey, where does it go? Yeah, it goes by in a hurry. But this is just the beginning. See, just the beginning of forever. We're going to be there a long time. A long time. Prayers and concern. Liz is sick. Talked to her this morning. Did not.